Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
This wall, and then we feel just like lost in life. And it's like, yeah. I like that idea of you saying, checking in with yourself, because then we can take more of this, like this proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. Because when people are feeling lost, at least I know what times that I felt lost, I felt really down and depressed. And, you know, then when you're feeling down and depressed, it makes sense that you don't have the motivation to really try to find your passions, right? So It's like, we don't need to hit rock bottom to find those passions. So I really love that idea of just checking in and normalizing that we can change. And
hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode with Divya and I. We are really excited to talk about this topic today. It's actually funny. We had plans to record today and we didn't have a topic picked out yet. And usually, like, we have the topic picked out a couple days in advance. But I was just on Instagram and I follow Jay Shetty, who is kind of like, he's, if you haven't heard of him, he's like a big, he used to be like a, what was he, Divya?
Monk. He's like a, he used to be a monk,
Yeah, he used to be a monk, and now he's kind of like on Instagram and like other platforms, like just talking about like mental wellness and all these other things. So long story short, I follow him on Instagram, and I saw a post that he posted today that actually was his wife, Rathi, who kind of was talking about just saying it's okay to feel lost in life sometimes and that to accept that feeling and to almost embrace that feeling. And so today, Divya and I are going to kind of talk about that a little bit more, basically on feeling lost in life and why do we feel this way so often.
Yeah. And we have a lot of experiences that we want to we can share on too. And that's why when Ravisha sent me the video that Rathi had posted, I really resonated with it. I knew that she would, because there have been so many times in our life that we have felt really lost, whether it's in our career or relationships or passions or whatever it may be. But we've had really a ton of moments that we felt lost. And we know that many millennials have felt this way too. So, you know, I just hope that this episode is a way for people to feel a little less alone in that feeling of being feeling lost or kind of like blah. Like, you know, that blah feeling like when you don't really know how you're experiencing life. So yeah, I think that this will be a really important episode and hopefully one that normalizes this feeling too.
Of course. And I want to put that out there as well, that one of the reasons that Divya and I even started the podcast earlier this year is because we kind of felt like we weren't pursuing some of our passions as much as we wanted to. Like, we had our 9-to-5 jobs and, you know, that was fulfilling to some extent, but at the same time, we weren't fully like delving into our passions. And I think once we got started on working on this podcast and getting it out there, we kind of felt something ignite in us. For I think for the both of us, like, we felt like, wow, we feel so ready to kind of do this. And it's just one of those things that we were feeling a little bit lost in what we kind of wanted to do next, that then we found this passion of ours that we're doing. And I feel like ever since we started it, I have been feeling like so much more fulfillment. And so, yeah, that's why we kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about that.
Because it's an end way of feeling fulfilled, not like even in our relationship. I know that we're getting, this is getting vulnerable, but this, that's what we're all about, is that I think it's even really helped us in our own relationship with each other, like reignite the spark in our friendship. I know that we always talk about like, oh, reigniting sparks in relationships, but not like Ravish and I were like feeling distance in our relationship. I wouldn't say that, but I feel like we were kind of in a routine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Of just like really, we work, we have the kind of same-ish stuff going on, similar conversations. And now it's really just like spiced up our creative energy and being able to talk about other things, that it's added this new dynamic in our relationship too, that's leading to feeling really even more fulfilled in our friendship. So being able to follow passions can work in so many ways, and it can be in a lot of different areas of life.
For sure. And like this last weekend, I actually visited Divya in New York, which was like so great. And
so nice.
It was. And I think like we were way more open in our conversations than we've ever been, I feel like, during this visit. Even though we already are like so open, I don't know, I think we like kind of knew how to maybe just like open up some things a little bit more, like with what Divya and I discussed. And I believe it or not, we became more vulnerable with each other than I think we ever have been.
A lot more.
And yeah, and I do think it's probably because just how like we are on a similar wavelength usually, and also just like, yeah, I think the podcast has like strengthened our friendship like even more, which is so crazy. So yeah, like I think that's why like the feeling of, like, we'll discuss more into the episode, but how like sometimes like in relationships that like feeling lost and not feeling fulfilled can kind of be a topic of interest to some people. But I guess I'll start off by asking Divya, who like works with a lot of millennials, like, why do you think this happens so often that people feel lost?
Yeah, so for anyone who's listening to this episode for the first time, or listening to Conversations Brewing, I'm a mental health therapist. So that is what Ravisha means with working. But I work, with a lot of millennials and people who are in the college age population. And people feel lost. And the way that I would describe lost is like feeling unfulfilled, like lacking purpose, lacking belonging, whatever that might be. It's usually lacking something, and so they feel lost, like something feels empty. And I think that there's a lot of reasons that happens, and one of the biggest ones can be almost like this expectation versus reality, like that comes with adulting and being a millennial, or even not being a millennial, that we expect or hope to have this kind of life, and oftentimes that's not the case, right? Like even like for friendships, for example, it's like we expect and hope that we have these friendships where we feel so fulfilled and we always are having fun and like kind of what we see on TV. But most of the time, that's not the case. And in jobs, we expect that we're going to have the high paying job, love our life, have work life balance. And oftentimes that's not the case because things don't come easy. So a lot of the time we think that, you know, things are just going to happen a certain way without us reflecting on how that's going to happen. So that's what I mean, that's what the therapy work is a lot of the time. But I really think that it kind of stems from this expectation versus reality. And then also with the fact when people aren't following their passions, Ravish and I are going to talk about this a little later in the episode about values work and understanding your passions. But, you know, it's almost impossible to feel fulfilled, at least in a long term, if we're not doing things that are fulfilling to us. Like it's so simple, yet we don't do it. So I think for those things, like the expectation versus reality, and we're not doing things that are fulfilling to us.
Yeah, and I know that we talk about this a lot too, but like adulting in general is not easy, and I think
so hard
as teenagers or even in college, like you think, oh yeah, once I get my degree and I get the job, like everything will be easy, like things will work out, like I'll have the 9-to-5 and then I'll hang out with my friends after work, and then you soon realize that like that is just not it for you, or like after doing that for a couple months you're like, why do I still feel not fulfilled or like happy completely? Like, you know, you might have the dream job or like you have the career that you've always wanted, but sometimes it just like doesn't feel like enough. I mean, Divya, I feel like I can like maybe put this in example, but like you achieved your career of becoming a therapist, like, you know, you went out, you got that, and then you still felt like you needed to do something more, right? And then that's kind of how Mind Manders with Div even started, is because like, well, I got my degree and I started working, but like at the same time I feel like there's like a little bit more I can do, right?
Yeah.
And as hard as that was for you to realize, like, you started doing it and it became mm-hmm. like a passion for you to do. And like, I do think that you feel like a lot more fulfilled from that than yeah. maybe with your job.
So fulfilled. And I think that even when you feel fulfilled in doing what, when you feel like being fulfilled isn't just like this equation of doing X, Y, equals mm-hmm. Z kind of thing. It's like when you're doing so many different things that are fulfilling to you, then it really, I think, like, bleeds into other areas of your life. Like, when I felt fulfilled in what I was doing for myself and what I was doing for the world around me, and like living in accordance to my values, I was feeling more fulfilled in other parts too, like my relationships and, you know, everything else that makes a person who they are. But I think that we underestimate with what to do when we're feeling lost. And that's why people feel lost and
yeah.
for more time, because we're like, oh, I feel lost or I feel blah. And then we keep doing the same things. But in reality, if we're feeling a certain way and we're not happy with how we're feeling, we can't do the same thing and expect a different outcome. Mm-hmm. And I think doing something different is really scary. Like, for me, it was terrifying. Even with starting My Matters with Div, I didn't tell anyone for like a week. Like, yeah. no one freaking knew I made the account. I was just posting on it because I was so scared to tell people. So it's like, we just stay in the same thing, doing the same stuff, but hoping for a different outcome. But it's like, we have to do something different. So I think that's what keeps people so stuck too.
Yeah, I think that as we grow as well, like, our purposes and our passions change frequently. Like I mentioned earlier, like, Jay Shetty's wife, Radhi, made this video. And then part of the video, she said, we kind of change every 7 years. Like, a lot mm-hmm. of, like, our interests and our values change. And I took away from that because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes I almost feel the pressure to be the same person I always have yeah. been. And I know that, like, I've definitely evolved and changed over the time, but sometimes, like, I try to hold on to, like, some part of the old me or what I valued. And I think that, I don't know, when she said that in the video, I really, like, that resonated with me, because I'm like, yeah, I think I need to be more comfortable with seeing change within myself. Or, like, what, or if I'm, like, if something I thought maybe even 5 years ago and I don't really relate to that anymore, I think I need to be more comfortable with being okay with that. Totally. Because I think it's hard to have that conversation with mm-hmm. yourself and be like, you know what, like, that's how I felt, but, like, I feel totally different now.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain areas of feeling, I guess, like, certain areas that you've struggled to embrace new identities of yourself that have led you to feeling lost? And I ask that because I imagine a lot of our listeners have maybe related to it. And that's okay if it feels too vulnerable, but I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, like, one of the big things is, like, I have kind of, as, like, my passion that I realized recently that's pretty big for me is just, like fashion and, like, mm-hmm. Just, like, more of that stuff. I feel like I always liked it, like, being in, on part. I sung Divya this, like, last weekend. But, mm-hmm. like, I've always been really into trends and fashion. And I kind of always felt like everyone else was also into that. But lately I realized that, like, oh, no, it's actually one of my passions that I, like, yeah. not really vocalized as much. And I'm really into, like, putting outfits together and, like, finding things that are trendy, but then also staple mm-hmm. items in my closet. And I feel like I was very afraid to speak about that for a long time because I almost felt uncomfortable, like, having that as my passion, yeah. if that makes sense. But I think lately, and also because of you, I'm able to kind of, like, put that a little bit more out there, put that part out mm-hmm. there myself, like, by starting, like, my Instagram and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, like, I do think that is one thing that I realized I was ignoring as a passion for a long time, but now I've been starting to embrace it a little bit more.
Yeah. No, I love that you're doing that. And one example of how she definitely has more of this passion for fashion and beauty in ways that maybe other people don't. And I don't know if this was another thing that had you be like, oh, wow, I have a passion for it. So Ravish and I were doing our makeup last week for our friend Nika's engagement party, And she was like, who have been your latest makeup inspiration? No, what's inspiring? What you asked me? Like, what's inspiring?
I asked you what kind of looks have been inspired to you when you do your makeup.
Oh, yeah. And I have been like, I don't know, like, looks that I can take nice pictures in, like, that I look good. And she was like, no, like, who has been inspiring you, like, that you're just, I'm sorry, I'm talking to you about, like, you're a hippie or something. But, and I was like, I don't know, like, what are you getting into?
We were in Sephora, too, while this conversation was happening.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, like, I just put makeup on to look a way that I think is looks decent in a photo, because, like, that's, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, never mind. And I was like, what the heck?
And that's because, like, sometimes, like, I see maybe certain celebrity makeup looks or people on TikTok or Instagram in general, and I'm like, oh, I really like that kind of makeup look, and I'm gonna try to attempt it. So that's why I, like, again, like, I felt like a lot of people do that, and so that's why I asked her, like, oh, who's, like, oh, whose looks are you inspired by lately?
Oh my gosh, I just slap whatever's on, like, in my palette on my face, like, I'm not even thinking about it. But see, that's so cool. Like, I had the eye for that, though, to be able to see someone and be like, oh, how can I do that and how can I recreate that? I would totally do it, but I just, like, don't have the eye for that kind of stuff. And that's something you have an eye for, right? And you have, like, a passion and you are unique in that way. So, yeah, I really loved seeing you grow into that.
Thanks.
And I remember you saying before, too, that, like, you were feeling, like, unfulfilled in certain areas of your life, too. And so kind of going into these other identities, even though I know that there's so much imposter syndrome with it too, and that you've had a lot, yeah, of fear around it, which is just, like, natural with content creation, but you still do it. So I know that we're going to kind of jump into common times to feel left out, but before we do that, I'm curious to ask you, like, even when you have felt lost, how did you end up still doing something that was really scary? Because I think a lot of people stay in a feeling of being lost because they're worried to do the X, Y, Z thing, which for you was, like, putting yourself on social media. Like, what got you to do that?
I think it's what, like, I think one of the things that I really had to do is tell myself that, like, you're not hurting anyone by, like, putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And you're actually only hurting yourself by, like, hiding, you know, and, like, not putting yourself out there. And I think for a while, like, I did need encouragement from, like, friends and family, for sure. Like, I will say, like, my sisters, you, Divya, and, like, my other friends around me definitely were, like, a more, like, more encouraging about it and made me feel better about doing it. So I do think I have, like, such a good close-knit of people around me. But I also think it's more so about me, and that, mm-hmm, I had to, like, overcome this hurdle of, like, feeling, like, judged for, like, yeah, you know, that's, like, my number one thing. And, you know, Divya has always told me that, like, you have to just do it. Like, if this is, mm-hmm, something that you feel like you want to do, you have to just do it. And, like, I'm even still, like, I'm not even saying I've overcome that at all. Like, I'm still working on it, but, like, I feel like I'm slowly, like, breaking that barrier. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like for anyone who's listening and feels like maybe there's some kind of passion or something else that they've been wanting to do, but they feel like they've been holding back because of themselves, like, you have to start somewhere, and you kind of just have to, like, really push yourself, and it's worth it in the end. Like, no matter what the outcome is, the thing is that you did it.
And, absolutely,
you know, like, you can say that you did it instead of thinking what if. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, the biggest thing too, is to not go ahead with something and then later on think, like, well, what if I did that one thing that I wanted to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's so much that then you're just, like, having a fight in your head about, mm-hmm, it. And do you want to have that, or do you, mm-hmm, want to actually go out and try and do something and see if that worked out for you or not?
Totally. Yeah. Because that's, I think, one of the biggest reasons, honestly, that people feel lost is because they don't have that passion, or they don't have that purpose, or they're not really giving themselves maybe even the time to explore that. Like, they're just staying busy and just doing what they're maybe quote unquote supposed to be doing. And so I guess when you think about that with what you shared, and like allowing how you allowed yourself to really embrace some of these passions that you have, it really normalizes that it's okay to change passions. And that goes back to also like your thing of that you felt like you had to stay the same, because I imagine that's also a reason a lot of people don't end up feeling like knowing their purpose or passion, because they're trying to stay the same. Like, we just don't normalize growing. We, as we age, we grow. Like, why is it such a big deal? But it's something that's so scary for people.
Yeah, I also think because we just don't check in with ourselves as often as we probably should about like what we're still figuring out or what we feel like is like a passion of art for ourselves. I think most of the time a lot of us are just grinding and kind of going, like once you're in a flow, like you're just kind of keep going and going. But then sometimes like you'll realize like, oh, like, you know, I have a routine, I have things that I like in my life, but you might just feel like something's missing. I think a lot of times we ignore that feeling for a while until it becomes more like an issue you feel like you have to deal with.
We hit this wall and then we feel just like lost in life. And it's like, I like that idea of you saying, checking in with yourself, because then we can take more of this, like this proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. Because when people are feeling lost, at least I know what times that I felt lost, I felt really down and depressed. And you know, then when you're feeling down and depressed, it makes sense that you don't have the motivation to really try to find your passions, right? So it's like, we don't need to hit rock bottom to find those passions. So I really love that idea of just checking in and normalizing that we can change. And I think some of it also is that people don't really know what their values and passions are. And that's something that I know that you've mentioned, that you've worked in your therapy pretty frequently, is your passions, around learning your passions, understanding them and your values. Is there anything that you can share for our listeners that's been particularly helpful for you in that journey?
I think the most important thing, and I think I've said this before, is like once you identify your values, like, and your like maybe your core values that you feel like, oh yeah, these are really big for me and this is what I feel really importantly about. And when you feel like a little bit lost or confused about something, when you go back and look at those values, it helps you kind of reevaluate like where you are. Like maybe you can assess each value and see like which part is of your life is this value being portrayed in. And I think that's kind of also when I did that kind of work, that's when I realized that like my like passion, or like my passion of like makeup and like fashion, was like a value that I had that I didn't know as much. Like it was part of a value that I didn't know. That was like a really important part of me. Like this creative side that I really didn't understand about myself that I needed to.
Yeah. And I think that we also probably like leave things locked up in us that we're just like out of fear, you know, not doing something. Because I know you said that for content creation. I was the same way about content creation. And even just like growing into ourselves, because me and Arisha were getting really vulnerable last week about just like things that we feel has had us kind of have to take a back seat in life. And we haven't been able to express ourselves and our values and our passions. But that's a really big step that we have taken, right? Like that we know these certain barriers and roadblocks that have prevented us from being able to really strive to be our most authentic versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like that awareness is so key, because if you're not aware of it, then you can't really move past it. But I imagine also there are a lot of people who are like not aware with that and they're living so unaligned. And so that might play like such a key role too.
Yeah, I think the authenticity that we often talk about is like so important to kind of check in with yourself. Yeah. You kind of need to ask yourself, like, are you being your true authentic version? Not only with yourself, but in relationships. And like, is that like something you see that is happening every day? Or do you think like you're kind of like putting on a different kind of persona? Because that can also like hinder a lot of like your day-to-day feelings. If you're like not in a, if you're not being authentic with yourself. Like, for example, like if you're have friendships that you're just like not being real with, imagine how like you're not getting a full, like fully what you want out of that relationship with friends, or even like with a significant other. Like, I think that can really bring you down.
Yeah. Because you're not even able to share real parts of yourself. So how can you, even what they do give you, how are you going to really be able to receive that? Because it's like a fake version of you.
Yeah. And again, like, we outgrow relationships sometimes. It's like, it's just kind of how it is. And so I think when you kind of deal with that and you can recognize that, like, oh, certain relationships in your life you've outgrown, I think it's like important to just be like, it is what it is, and be able to kind of deal with that.
Yeah, that's another really big reason why people can feel lost in life, is because they don't feel connected in their relationships. Like, we're social beings, so we're meant to be in relationships, and we're meant to have like a sense of belonging with people. And, you know, when we don't have that, it's natural that we just feel down and we feel lost, and we really have to normalize. And I know we really like beat this down like a broken record in our other episodes too, for people who listen, but that it's okay to outgrow relationships, because as we understand our values and who we are deeper, it's natural to realize that not everyone aligns with that. And I definitely had a lot of experiences with that, in terms of as I was really understanding myself on a deeper level, and like kind of just like peeling back all these layers of me that I just let kind of exist as like defenses and stuff like that. I was realizing all of these things about me that, you know, it just didn't mesh with some of my relationships. And also, like, we just, people have different values, and that's totally okay. And I think the older we get, the more we realize that they're just straight up value differences. And also, people are in different stages of life, like, you know, so it can be really hard. But Ravish and I have talked about this a lot, because there have been quite a few friendships that I've outgrown in ways that, of course, it's really painful. But in the times I was holding on to relationships I've outgrown or tried to stay part of them, I felt really lost. Like, I felt really unfulfilled almost in all my relationships. You know how they say, like, one bad apple, like, kind of, like, ruins all the apples kind of situation? That was what it felt like for me in terms of being lost.
Yeah, and then I just want to ask you, like, further on that, like, once you made that realization that some of your relationships you've outgrown, and you, like, came to terms with that, how do you think that, like, shifted your mindset with maybe other relationships, so, like, also, like, moving forward and being like, okay, I have to, like, move on from this?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard, because it's honestly like a breakup, like a loss, it's grief, and, you know, it feels really sad. And I think when I started to allow myself to feel those emotions, like feel sad about it, it really helped me heal in that way, that I could really show up more in my other relationships, because I had to like let space for it to be there. Because before, I would be like, I don't even care. Like, you know, the past is in the past. Like, people don't matter. Like, when obviously that's not the case. You have had deep friendships with people, and you have to value that, and there's space for that. And so once I started to really like honor that and honor that loss and grieve it a bit, then I was able to show up more for my other relationships. And I also felt a lot more aligned, because I was realizing I wasn't as resentful. Resentment is one of the biggest things that can really just like poison relationships. Right. And I was feeling resentful, like, naturally, because my needs weren't being met. We didn't have our values aligned. And I'm not saying that you have to have 100% values aligned with your friends, but, you know, you, to be able to form meaningful conversations, you have to have a larger percent of your values. And that's okay that our values just don't align with people. But yeah, I was ending up resentful, and that's not helpful for me, and that's not helpful for other people too. So the more I realized that, you know, in the long term, it wasn't helpful. It helped me really like cope with the short term. Cause I think a lot of the time we just hold on to the short term without thinking about the long term.
Yeah. And again, thanks for sharing that. Obviously I knew that, but I think it's important for other people to listen to that, because, you know, you and I have had conversations about this, you know, I feel like I was, you can say so otherwise, but I really feel like I was there for you during that time. And I think you really needed to discuss it and like work it out and like figure out like what you were really like searching for and figuring out. And that's why I feel like, you know, a lot of people can relate maybe a little bit more to this episode, because there's so much learning that you have to do with yourself when figuring out these things. And we are by no means experts, but I do think we've done a lot of the work for this.
Yeah.
So it's like easier for us to like kind of like talk about a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, especially through our own like work through, yeah, talking with each other, but then also like in our therapy work. And, you know, we just, again, like, not like we're experts or anything, but we're just like sharing what has been helpful for us and what we have noticed. And even like for me, observations I've noticed like other people struggle with. That's the next one that we've talked about that is another really big reason that people feel lost is because they feel burnt out. And we did have an episode on burnout, but have there ever been times for you that you felt really burnt out and felt lost as a result? And I kind of know the answer because your summer was really hectic.
So I did feel like I had in more of an after effect of burnout than like during my actual process of burnout. And what I mean by that is that after like, I guess my busy season had ended and I had to like, I was like in reality now, you know, I wasn't on the go constantly. I did feel a bit of like, I felt like disengaged from my actual life because I was so heavily involved with my friends and like what was going on with the weddings and getting things done. And so once all that ended, I then had to like be like, now sitting with myself and my emotions. And I think that was really hard for me to do. Like I talked to you about that. Like I almost had like a I had like difficulty like transitioning into normal life. And I think obviously that's the effects of burnout. And then also I think just like when everything almost like comes to a sudden stop, that like I almost felt lost. Again, it was like
where am I going? Like, what's my routine?
Yeah, it was like the feeling of like, what is my day to day supposed to look like now? Like, it was
like I'm working a full week now,
working a full week, not having like plans after work, like not dance practice after work, or like you know, a meeting with a friend about discussing wedding things. Like, it was just like really weird for me to one have like free time. Have time to myself, and I think I really had a hard time like adjusting to that for like a week or two, and so I really like I felt lost, and like the way that I kind of had to come out of it was like I like kind of journaled about it a lot and was like figuring out ways to kind of like build my routine again for myself and finding like I started going on like some more walks and having time to think to myself. And I think that like helped me a little bit more, like get back into the swing of things. And like, now I feel like a lot more normal and adjusted to that, but it did take a while. And I think like sometimes like the effects of burnout are just like so much.
Yeah, totally. Because we also don't really see it coming. Like you said, it hits like really later because we end up doing the same thing as with the value stuff with being, you know, reactive instead of proactive. So then we get to this point that we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so burnt out. I don't have energy to put into anything. So then we end up feeling like lost and unfulfilled on like so many levels, like mentally, emotionally, socially, physically, everything. Yeah. And so I really think it's important to honor burnout because so many people are burnt out. Just like our society is chronically burnt out. So it makes sense that so many people are feeling lost because that's another really big contributing factor to it.
Yeah. And then also like the constant expectations that we put on ourselves, but also like expectation from others. I feel like sometimes that like really builds up and that can cause like almost like an the feeling of like emptiness because you have to figure out like who you're trying to please. Are you trying to please yourself or like the people around you? And I guess like, you know, being South Asian, like our cultural standards and that, and like where we have like family expectations and it's like the constant need to succeed in everything that we're doing. I think that's always hard to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just like, we end up doing things during, I guess like our grade school years where it's like, okay, I need to do this to do what my parents want or that what society wants. And then we're working so hard to get to this position, but then when we're in the position itself, it's like, I don't know if that's really what I want. Like, I don't know. We work toward things often that it's not even what we want. And so we end up, like I talked about that gap, right, between like expectation and reality. Then our reality isn't what this like glorified expectation of what people had told us. And we definitely see that a lot in the South Asian culture. And I know that it's something that you've shared, you've had experience with too. And I mean, what are ways that you felt lost and really just like knowing the trajectory of your life and career because you were so rooted in expectation?
I think I really had to figure out what I wanted for myself, and that was, and I'm still figuring that out, to be honest. Like the last year, I really had to fight off what my family expects of me or like what they've, you know, and when I've when I've grown up with that for so long, mm-hmm. it was like very, it's like, it's still hard. It's like I said, it's in the process of figuring out like more about what I want versus what other people want of me. And right. I don't know. I don't think it's really easy to do because I am figuring myself out like on a day-to-day basis of like what I want. Even when Divya asks me what I want out of a situation, I'm always like, I don't know. Like, I really never know how to answer.
I asked her the question, what do you want, probably 30 times last weekend.
She does. But the reason why she knows she needs to ask me is because she knows that like she like that's the only way I'm gonna be mm-hmm. able to when I'm asked that question, that's the only way I'm gonna be able to be like figuring it out.
Exactly. Like being direct about that.
Yeah. Like even like my therapist was like, you like asking me like what I wanted at it from like a really small thing. And I literally just like didn't know how to answer. Like mm-hmm. I'm so indecisive about things that I really am not a fan of it. Like that I'm so indecisive and I can't constantly figure out. Like sometimes I don't even know what I want to eat like half the time. Like I'm just like, oh yeah, whatever you want. Not picky. But it's like that indecisiveness though affects me in so many other ways that so like now I'm like really trying to figure out how to get, I guess, be in more control of that.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is going a little bit off script for comment for reasons that we, because Ravish and I obviously write out scripts for these episodes and we go off of common times that we feel lost. This is not one that we wrote about, but it had me thinking with what you had just said. Do you think that the indecision is also a really big reason that people feel lost? Because that experience of indecisiveness, I think, is a really common one. Like, do you think that really impacts it had been your own experience of feeling lost?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because I think, especially as adult, like once you get into adulthood, a lot of things are left to your own decision. Like you're the decision maker now. And then for a long time, like your parents or like older people around you were kind of like the decision makers for a while, or like you weren't part of the decision making as much, that like once you're left out to start making those decisions on your own, it's very hard to figure out like then what, how do you figure out then like what your passion is about something or like what you really like, right? Because like when you've been constantly told how to like act a certain way, feel a certain way, so easy then when you're like on your own then to feel lost about it.
Yeah. I think that's really going to resonate with a lot of people, is like with the indecisiveness, fear of the future, just like honestly not wanting to F up. Like so many times we just don't. Yeah.
We're so scared.
Because we're so scared to screw up. And then, like, I mean, we'll just say it loud and clear. We are all going to screw up. I remember this thing that my supervisor had told me. So this was, like, conversation. You know Diana, but I was saying something about being a parent. I was like, I'm so scared I'm going to be about being a parent because I feel like I'm going to fuck my kid up. I'm so scared to fuck my kid up. And so I'm trying to do everything I can to not fuck my kid up. And she was like, girl, you're going to fuck your kid up. Everyone fucks their kid up, but it's just about like what you do about it. Like, do you take accountability and do you do something different? But I think that's what the thing is. It's the same thing of like, oh, I don't want to screw up, right? And again, I just realized I just said the F word like five times, but it's fine. Hopefully everyone here is above 18. But I was making a quote. But anyways, we're all going to screw up, right? So it's like we might as well screw up doing things that are meaningful to us and taking accountability. It's not like being a train wreck, like a hurricane and hurting people. That's not what I'm saying. But doing what is meaningful to us, taking accountability and like continually becoming a better person.
Yeah, that's so right. Like taking accountability is so huge. Mm-hmm. Like I also like don't like to take accountability on a lot of things a lot of times because I don't want to accept the fact that I did something wrong. Like, that's just how I am. But you're right. Like, do the wrong thing, but then take accountability about doing the wrong thing. Because, like, no one is perfect and mistakes happen all the time. Like, there's, like, no wrong or right way to do things most of the time. And then once you, like, you do it, you realize, oh, yeah, maybe that wasn't, like, the best way to go about it. Or maybe it is, and then you can take accountability for the fact that you did something right. I think that's a constant argument that we have within ourselves is like, what is right to do, what is wrong to do, what do people want me to do.
Exactly.
And that's, and then this goes back though to what your core values are, and you have to go back to like think about that and be like, to help you with your decision making.
Yeah, absolutely. And also when you were saying that around what's the right thing and the wrong thing, I was just realizing that there are so many times that now I look back at something and I'm like, that was the wrong decision. But I make that, I have that perception that that is the wrong decision based on who I am now, right? Like when I made the decision, like about something, let's say for just example's sake, like 5 years ago, I didn't have the same kind of knowledge and experience that I have now. So in that time, it probably felt like the right decision. And that goes back to what we're talking about, that we're continuously growing and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone is like evolving and changing. And like what you just said, like you can take accountability for something you did 5 years ago and realize like, oh, that might have not been the best thing I did back then. Yeah. But then at least you're taking accountability for it. At least you're realizing it now. Oh, yeah, I didn't handle that the best. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, you know, now I wouldn't do that, but the past me did that, and that's fine. You know, like, kind of, like, just being comfortable with saying, yeah, that wasn't it, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's one thing. So, like, now as we're transitioning into what to do when we're feeling lost, that's one of the biggest – I'm kind of thinking that's one of the biggest things is also just, like, reflecting on our behaviors, taking accountability, having self-compassion, like really allowing ourselves to look at what we're doing, because when we're not really examining, you know, our behaviors and how we're experiencing life and our role in our relationships, we're going to keep doing the same thing. So it kind of seems like with this, what to do when we're feeling lost to get, I don't know, like unlost or unstuck or whatever, a lot of it is taking accountability. And like, that's probably one of the first things.
Yeah, I guess like this is our advice on it, not like what you should do. Because again,
everything depends on each person's situation. We always have to give that disclaimer.
Yeah, but yeah, like I also just like checking in with like your emotions. I think that's a big thing too. Yeah. Is like assessing how you're feeling maybe after like you make a decision or you're about to make a decision, and like sitting with those emotions is very important, and reading your body language during those times is very important as
well.
That's
a good point.
Because that's like that's how your brain is telling your body to react, and like oftentimes like we don't realize how important emotions are and like the effects they have on our body.
Yeah, that is such a good point, because we just have to listen, right? We always think that we're so much smarter than our mind and our body. Like, we are not. We are not. We are dumb compared to what our mind can do and our body can do. So we just need to trust it. Like, that, they know what they're doing. There's so many times I'm like, oh, maybe I don't feel that way, or I don't think I'm stressed. And my mind is like, you're burnt out. My back is, like, tight as ever. And it's like, I should just listen to myself. Like, you are clearly stressed out, but then I'm cognitively like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, like, it's almost like you want to ignore that. But your body's telling you, hey, don't ignore this part that you're feeling. I need you to, like, you know.
Listen up.
Take it easy. Yeah. It's crazy. And, like, I feel like most of the time, like, without, like, reflection, I don't think I would be able to really, like, deal with these things as, like, as I'm able to. Like, reflection is so important. Like, you have to, like, I think being comfortable with your own thoughts and emotions is like very important, or just like talking to someone that's like close to you and like understands you too, like helps a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reflection also leads to the values work, right? Like that was what for you, you were able to really embrace in therapy and defining what was meaningful to you so that you were able to make these conscious decisions toward that. And you were able to act in ways that were aligned with your values. And, you know, when we act in line with our values and our passions, then leads to fulfillment, which can bring us out of feeling lost. So that self-awareness seems to really be key.
Yeah. I think I also want to just give like a big shout out to a lot of people in my life recently that have like gone to like, maybe because they were feeling lost in a little bit, like are going to go figure out their passions. Like my little sister just moved to LA. So
she's a listener for us. Cho, we are so proud of you.
So proud of you. My friend Shivani moved to India.
Yes.
Pursuing.
Proud of you, Shiv. Stories by Shiv. Follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, seriously, follow her on Instagram. Like, she's, like, constantly posting, like, how she's like moved to India and like figuring out her passions. Like Ian, my other friend who like moved to India a couple years ago, she was a guest on our podcast.
Lenny Shop.
Yeah. Like she went to go follow her passions as well. And like, you know, if you're like ever doubting yourself or feeling lost, and figure out what your passions are. Figure out like what it is for you that you need to do for yourself to feel like fulfillment.
You're never going to regret it. You're never going to look back and be like, oh, I wish I didn't do this thing that was so aligned with my values and that was so fulfilling to me. And again, I think a lot of the time we just are scared to do what our passions are because we attribute the passion to the outcome. You know, you can have a passion and it doesn't need to lead to anything. It doesn't need to make you money. It doesn't need to get you like X amount of followers. Like none of that freaking matters. It's just like if you are doing what is meaningful to you and it's going to have an impact and that impact is going to look different. But I think that when we have an idea of like, this is what the impact has to look like, and we put that impact in like a box, then we're disappointed. And that goes back to this thing of like the expectation versus reality. So it's really just like jumping into it and being like, I'm doing this because it's valuable and meaningful to me, not because I'm trying to get this certain outcome.
Yeah, 100%. Mind matters with Div right there.
Mic drop.
Okay, well, on that note, I feel like we've been talking for a really long time.
Covered a lot. I hope that this is helpful to people, and maybe you needed to take some pauses. But I wonder, this is like as we're finishing up, our friend Anika had told us that she listens to podcasts at 1.5 times so she can get through her podcast quicker. And I mean, first of all, if that doesn't show us like societal hustle culture, like I'm not sure what does. Anika, sorry, honey, calling you out. Little bit, just like I can just get more podcasts through listening to it 1.5 times. But I mean, I'm curious. I hope, like, do other people do that? And if so, I hope you're taking a pause because we just dropped a lot of heavy things. And if I was listening to this at 1.5, I would probably feel really overwhelmed.
That is so true. I listened to some podcasts at 1.2, which is like,
how do you even change it? I didn't even know that was a thing until Anika told us.
Wait, really?
No, I have no clue. I just listened to mine. Normally,
there's
how
like
do you change it?
There's an option like on the bottom. I'll show you, but like I do 1.2, which doesn't sound like that much different. I think you and I speak at 1.2 speed, honestly, generally. So for me, I think that's how I like to hear my podcast. But 1.5 is pretty fast. But like to some, you know,
maybe it's normal. I mean, yeah, we're pretty fast speakers. So when Anika's listening, we're probably like but I mean, if she's taking it in, then.
We love you, Anika.
All jokes aside, we love Anika so much, and that's why I can say all of this to her. But we do love Anika, and we love the rest of you just the same. And so thank you all for your support and just like creating this space for both of us to also be vulnerable. I just feel each episode we get more and more and more vulnerable, and I don't know, it's just so cool to see this all unfold, and it wouldn't be happening without all of you listeners, so we really appreciate it.
Yeah, like for example, like our topic today, something we just decided day of, but we had so much to say about it. And so, yeah, thank you again so much for listening.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account @conversationsbrewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at BIOPTIMIZERS.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.